Begin the current daf. Masech the Shabbos daf Memhei. Begin the Amud Aleph. Begin the Tosef Maskil. Begins the words of the Gemara. Hachanan Mistabra. And it's actually logical like this because the Rav Rabbi Yehuda, really the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So just come to explain, the Gemara didn't have to prove that in general Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, regarding this halacha that we're discussing, regarding Migdis Katzoy, that is because the Gemara had brought a teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Marav that a bed that doesn't have money in it, it's permitted to be moved in Shabbos. That specifically, if money wasn't on the Benash Mashas. But if it was there during the whole Benash Mashas, then you're not allowed to move it, even if there's no money in it right now. Because of what's known as Migdis Katzoy, since it was set aside, it was out of sight, out of mind by Benash Mashas, so it's muktzeh the whole day. On that, the Gemara had a lengthy question from Ula from a Mishnah that we see regarding a diuk in the law of the wheel with the money on it. That we see that as long as no money on it, even though it's dear ben hashmashes, it's not going to be muktzah. So the Gemara answered, it's not a difficulty. That mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Yehuda Marav goes like Rabbi Yehuda, which holds that it there is going to be muktzah ben hashmashes iskatzur l'kuliyam. And that the Gemara says, and Taisa Deva Maschil says, Hachadam Mistabra, as we're being approved that we see Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So Taisa points out that Bekama Mekaimis, Ashkechan Rav Savak Rabbi Yehuda. We already know this from many places Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda regarding the laws of muktzah. The Asr Mita Shiachter Lamois Venichla Mois regarding the halacha that we mentioned previously that a bed is forbidden if it was designated for money and you put on that money. That teaching of Rav is obviously like Rabbi Yehuda because Ve'ilu Rabbi Shimon Shari, actually according to Rabbi Shimon, is permitted because the Shari Chatzaitzit, he permits one to even move a trumpet, which is a klisha malachta le'isr, and still he holds a philotokabah kamnezim, even if you blew it many times. So it's definitely as strong, if not more, than a bed that's designated for money and you put on the money. That it doesn't make a difference if you blew it or not. He holds you allowed to move the trumpets. So obviously, if Rav is saying it's us, it's going like a Yehuda. And we know the Karchid is Duzi, we have a Gemara Daf Yotzei Sama Beis regarding these mats that cover the merchandise, which Machlik is Rav Shmuel. We already know from there Rav holds like a Yehuda. So what's the Gemara coming to say? Says Taisis, El Deboy Lochuchi, the Savak Yehuda. What we want to prove that Rav holds like a Yehuda is in regards to specifically this idea of our Gemara, the Migi Diskatsai Ben Ashmash of Achulu, regarding this, that if something's Muktzah Ben Ashmash, it's Muktzah the whole day, that's what we're coming to prove from this halacha specifically regarding the date tree with the candle on it. That was a specific halacha regarding Migdis Katzai, and that we see the Rav is like Behuda in that too. The next taste of Maskelis begins the words of the Gemara, Mikmecha Bari B'Shabbat, to move it from these Chabarim on Shabbos, which taste comes to explain, first of all, why is the question specifically by Ner Chanukah more than, let's say, Ner Shabbos, and also that why wasn't the Ner Chanukah on the table? And that is, Gemara had asked, how could you say Rav holds a Rabbi Yehuda that holds a muktzah? There was a story, they asked Rav, are you allowed to move the Ner Chanukah because of these Chabari, as our Taisa Maskil says, after it went out on Shabbos? Rav says, permitted. You see, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should be muktzah, it's katzir le ben hashmashes. So the Gemara says, yeah, okay, Shasat Chak is different. But Taisa explains that the reason why they have to move these Ner Chanukah when it went out because of these, quote, these Chabarim. So Taisa explains, because Shabbayim Eichelim and their holiday, Lohayim and Nichaner, they didn't let anyone light a candle, El Vabes Avadazar, only in their house of idolatry. And therefore, it was dangerous. They had to move it that they shouldn't know that the Jews lit candles on Shabbos. Now, but then Taisa explains, Umaydi Kamibayle B'nei Chanukah, then why was this a question specifically when the Chanukah lights go out on Friday night? Tfeim B'nei Shabbos more than every Friday night when you light the Shabbos candles. So that's just because for their food purposes, which the Neir Shabbos actually you're supposed to eat by Yisuda, so that you have candles for Yisuda that they let. But things like the Neir Chanukah, which was just for a mitzvah purpose, that the Chabarim didn't let you light it by the public street to have it out there, out in the open. Now, but then Tais is bothered, Vavagav the B'shas HaTzchakah, but if this was a danger, therefore Rav said, okay, B'shas HaTzchakah, it lets you move it, then Amrina Bebemad Ligan, the Gemara in the Sugya of Ner Chanukah, we learned in Daf Chafav Mabez, that Allah is the Manicha Shulchan Bedayi. You don't put it by the street. You put it on your table and that's it, sufficient. So what are they asking that it's by the street? What should we do? It might be dangerous. And he says, oh, you can move it. Why are they lighting it by the street? So says Taisis, either Hacha Mayri, yeah, here it's Tumad, that Im Yera, Shulohi Nicha Shulchanah. You're right, you could light on the table. But it's Tumad, if a person didn't, they want to know what should you do. Or Yinami, Aymeri, the Re says, actually, Dashasa Sakana Dil El. There in that sugya in Daf Chafal that said in the time of danger that then you don't light by the street, Lav Sakanas Chavarim coming. That wasn't talking about, quote, the danger of these Chavari people, which they didn't let you light unless in their house of worship. That, regarding that, no, that the halacha still is you light by the street. El Sakanas Shmat, that was regarding when the non-Jews make a decree on any, it's a religious persecution on the Jewish people. Shagazur Shalai Lahadik Ner Chanukah, and they make a decree that no one's allowed to light the Ner Chanukah, that's where it's dangerous, and that's where you light on your table, that's it. But because of the danger of these chavari, that they didn't make there the heter of lighting on your table. Rather, you light it on the outside, and then you go ahead, like Rav said, you bring it back inside. And that's why the question was, they needed the Ner Chanukah after it went out to bring it inside. The next test, the Masechta, begins the words of the Gemara. Hecha de dachi b'idayim, where he actively rejects it, then islay, then yes, he holds of Muktzah. Which is going to explain that the suffer of the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon, is regarding when you actively reject it, is only if it's eternally rejected. Meaning, because the Gemara had this question, Shlokesh asked from Yechanan, regarding wheat that was planted in the ground, or an egg that was put beneath the chicken, that it should heat it up. So the question was, are you allowed to take it on Shabbos? So, and let's say eat that on Shabbos. And the question was specifically according to Rabbi Shimon. Because on the one hand, Rabbi Shimon does not hold of Muktzah. Or maybe here he would agree that it's going to be Muktzah, like our Taisa Devi Maschel is going on, because he actively rejects it. So Taisa is bothered. Not Bavagav the Ner Shechava, but we have halacha that we know. Rabbi Shimon says, a lamp that went out, that it was extinguished on Shabbos. Shari Rabbi Shimon. Shimon permits one, after it went out, to go ahead and use the leftover oil. He let it go ahead and use that lamp. Avagav the Dachi B'Yadayim, although a person actively rejected, he lit it right before Shabbos. What's the Gemara's doubt? We see Rabbi Shimon does not hold the Muktzi when you actively reject it. So it's Taisno, the Hasam Shani, thereby the lamp is different. Kimin Shekhrab Pasik Di Chushala, because once it goes out, there's no more rejection, because it's not lit anymore. Aval Hacha, but it'll be here, Lo Eilamein Dechuin, it's eternally rejected, because Manshah Menachashon, as long as things stay the way they are, it's going to be rejected in the ground or beneath the chicken. So therefore, the Gemara is questioning, when you actively do an eternal rejection, maybe it's going to hold its muktzah, and therefore it's not necessarily the same thing as the lamp, where it's not eternally, it's going to go out at some point, and then at that point it's going to be permitted, and therefore it's a different case, that maybe there he holds its mutter, but here he would hold its us. The next test, the Maschil, begins the words of the Gemara, El Shemen Shebener. Only the oil in the lamp. Today's comes to explain, first of all, the Rebbe Shimon that says that it's forbidden because of Muktzah, is the oil that's dripping from the lamp. And second of all, Taisa asks that why does Rabbi Yechanan pick the one case Rabbi Shimon agrees to Muktzah is the oil in the lamp, and not, as we'll see later on the Suga, Gregis of Tzimukim, the dried figs and the dried grapes. Which the Gemara had brought this question, like we said, that Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, no, it's not going to be Muktzah the case he asked of him, because the only case Rabbi Shimon holds is Muktzah is, as our Taisa de Maschil quotes, is the oil in the lamp when it's lit. Because then it's hooked to the mitzvah, so then it's hooked to the yisurei. So here, whereas where there's no hooked to the mitzvah by the wheat in the ground and the egg beneath the chicken, be permitted. Now Tais points out, lav davka shebener, this wording of Rabbi Yechanan, that he said that's the one case Rabbi Shimon agrees of muktzah is the oil in the lamp, it's not really specific, the oil in the lamp, that's when he holds the law of muktzah. Because now, who asked him a that would be forbidden because of a malacha of Shabbos, not of muktzah, rabbinic muktzah, because of extinguishing the fire. Like the Gemara says in the Chabbezim and Alf Mezach Zbeya, a mistopic mi men, if someone uses the oil in the lamp, chai mishamachab is liable for extinguishing because you're making it go out earlier than it would. Elamataftaf minera just means even if it's dripping from the lamp, as long as it's lit, then it's forbidden because it's still set aside for the mitzvah as long as the flame is burning, even though this actually dripped out, and you wouldn't be doing mechaba, it's still going to be a problem of muktzah. Now, Taisa further explains, he says, Umeshum de muktzah le mitzvah, so this concept that we're saying, let's say, regarding the oil, which is aser. So he only says the oil in the lamp. Why does he say only the oil in the lamp? What's with the lamp itself? So actually, Taisa explains, this concept of muktzah le mitzvah, like also ner hadalik, that actually does not make the lamp itself that's lit forbidden, litaltal to move, because it preaches el. And we explained this on the previous daf, mebezim mebezim, the maschal be'in the oisin, because when you move the lamp, it's not nullifying the mitzvah, because it's only if you have benefit from the oil for a non-mitzvah purpose, so that's nullifying, you're taking away from the ner Shabbos. But by moving the lamp, there's no bittel of the mitzvah, you can still fulfill the mitzvah as long as it's still lit. So actually, no, that he doesn't hold in muktzah. It's only the shemen shebener, but not the ner itself. It's just that we say later on, the end of the perkin of Mimzayim and Alf, that yes, you can't move the lamp for a different reason. That's simply because the lamp itself is a base for the prohibited flame. But the lamp itself is not muktzah. It's only the oil in the lamp. That's huksalim etzvasek. Now, Tema Lari, the Ri wonders that, my noket shemen shebener. Okay, fine, so we explain why it's the shemen shebener, when it's only when it's lit, and it's not the lamp itself, but why did he pick this as the one exception that Rabbi Shimon holds of muktzah is the oil in the lamp when it's lit? Tfei havalei leminkin, he should have rather picked a mukta l'Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon does not hold of a mukta, ele groiges v'tzimukin, only the dried figs and the dried grapes. Where there, you are actively rejecting it, because you're drying it, and it's also not edible in that interim period by Beinash Mashash, where therefore your intention is not on it, because you don't know if it's going to be edible at all on Shabbos, and therefore you're setting it aside. The Damu Tvei Lechid Shazar, and that's more comparable to the case we're discussing over here regarding the wheat that was planted, which is the same idea, that is something that it's a food item and something that you're actively rejecting. The Loyas Gut said, because there, by the case of the wheat that's planted, that's not mukta loy machmas. Mitzah has nothing to do with a mitzvah thing. Loy machmas is not because of any prohibition with it. So therefore, you rather should have compared it, not shemet shebener, which that's mukta because of an iser, rather should have compared it to Greg's mitzvah, which that's exactly where Rib Shimon does say it's aser, and that's what you say, but it conjures over here that he wouldn't hold it's aser. Now, that's a question Taisus does not answer. And he says, don't say the sub Rabbi Yechon or Rabbi Yechon holds that actually, you're right, that he couldn't have given that answer. Because he actually holds Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, a mukta begregis v'tzimuk. And actually, he says, no, dried figs and dried grapes are not mukta, and therefore he couldn't say that's the one exception to hold his mukta. You can't say that. Because the Rebbe Kam B'samach, Rebbe shortly says in our sugya, the isli Rabbi Shimon mukta begregis v'tzimuk. And that Rabbi Shimon does hold of the concept of mukta by Gregor Zimuk. And then Mustama Le Pog and Taisus says, we can presume that Rabbi Yechon doesn't disagree. And therefore Taisus bothered that why, the reason bothered, why did he say the one exception of Mukzer, Rabbi Shimon holds of Rabbi Shimon Shabin there, when the more comparable case would have been that of Gregor Zimuk. Next, Taisus Demaskus begins the words of the Gemara, Ad Matze Yom Tev Achad Shal Chag, until the end, after the last days of the Yom Tev of Sukkot. Taisus can explain that according to Rabbi Shimon, who, quote, doesn't hold of Mukza, you're actually permitted to use the Noi Sukkah, the decorations of the Sukkah, even on the last day of Sukkot. That is, the Gemara brought that Reb Shimon doesn't hold the Mukta, only the oil and the lamp itself, because that's Huxle Mitzvasa, Huxle Yisura. So that the Gemara asks, what Reb Shimon, as the Gemara originally understands it, only holds of Mukta if it has both Limitzvasa and Li Yisurai, which is related to the prohibition of Kibui? We have a rice regarding the Sukkah that we see regarding the Sukkah and the Noi Sukkah, that you're not allowed to have benefit from it until the Matzah Yom Tov Acher. Now, the Sukkah and its decorations are only Huxel Mitzvasai. Chol HaMoed, for example, there's no Isra applying to it. And we know this Bryce is like Rav Shimon, as the Gemara shortly explains. So therefore, that was the Gemara's question, wondering, you see, he even holds only just Huxel Mitzvasai. Now, Hiksh Rabbeinu Tam, but one thing Rabbeinu Tam asks is that B'Yom Tov Acherin, on the last day of Yom Tov, which is Shemini Atzeres, Doloy Asel Metam Migid Iskatzoy Ben Hashmasha. The only reason why the Sukkah and its decorations are prohibited, there's no Huktzah Mitzvah, so you don't use sit in the Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. The only reason why it is Muktzah is because Migid Iskatzoy Ben Hashmasha, since it was Muktzah by the twilight going into Ben Hashmasha to the Shemini Atzeres from the last day of Sukkahs. Because of the past day, because on some level, Ben HaShemash could be from the previous day, it could be also for the coming day. Now the problem is, but Reb Shimon Shari Meisar Hashem and Shabbat Nebu, Reb Shimon permits the leftover oil in the lamp, even though it was Muktzah by Ben HaShemash, for the mitzvah of the coming day, it doesn't care, he's not bothered by Iskatzir Le Ben HaShemash. So then, why is it, if you're saying that this halach is going like Reb Shimon, then why is it us until after the last days of Sukkot? So it seems to the read, you're right. The Bamasha Seres HaBraisa Yom Tabach, and this is the Braisa says, that not only is also all 7 days of Sukkot, but even the 8th day of Sukkot, meaning Shemini Atzeres, Lo Yasuk Reb Shimon, that actually is not like Reb Shimon, because actually Reb Shimon would not hold its Asur on Shemini Atzeres, because he doesn't hold the Migis, this Gatzoi. So in the first part, that all the days of Sukkot, it's forbidden, the Sukkot and its decorations, that's like Reb Shimon. The next text, the Masoch, that begins the words of the Gemara, V'loy Min HaSamachla, and not what's near it. Taisus comes to explain the Girsa and the Braisa, if it's Veloy Min HaSamachla or El Min HaSamachla. That is, the Gemara brought that a Braisa, that a person is not allowed to take the wood from the Sukkah on Yom Tov, El Min HaSamachla, which is the bundles of wood that's near the walls of the Sukkah. That's the Girsa we have in our Gemara. But the Girsa Taisus has is that you're not allowed to take the wood from the Sukkah on Yom Tov, and Veloy Min HaSamachla. In other words, and also you're not allowed to take from the wood that's near the Sukkah, you're not allowed to use it. Now Taisus says, the Perka may be Kadiyayin, the Gemara in Beit Avlam and Beis Goris B'Mishnah, the Gemara brings the Girsa there in the Mishnah that El Min HaSamachla, only what you could take is from the bundles that's near it, which actually, like the Girsa we have in our Gemara, that actually saying that is permitted. On that apart, the Gemara asks on that halacha, I because Sasar Allah, but you're demolishing the oil. By taking away parts of the wood, you're destructing, which is forbidden to do stira. Mashan, the Gemara answers, what does it mean from what's near it? It's Samach Litfanis, what's near the wall. It's not part of a thicker roof, these bundles. It was near the wall. The wall's a wall without it, and therefore you're not destructing any part of the edifice. Now, says Taisus, Vahashti Gores Bebreis Dach, now if the Gersin, the Breis the Gemara brings over here, is like the Gemara over there, as our Gers is, Elimina Samach Lo, only what you're allowed to take off is the bundles that's near it, have a Besamach Litfanis. That would mean what's near the walls, like the Gemara over there explains. But the igars, but if you have the gears as Taisus had that there was such a gears of Beloimina Samachla, and no, you can't even take from the bundles that's near it, then Mayri Ma'ashal Aschach. Then it would be referring to the bundles that's on the roof. But Taimisham, the Sasa Allah, there, even the extra bundle is still part of it, makes the roof thicker. It's part of the oil that would be destructing the oil, because the Muslim, like the Gemara says, such a difference, and therefore that's how you would have to explain according to either gears. So the next Taisus in Maschel, this begins the words of the Gemara, Vim Hisna, but if you made a stipulation, Hakolafi Tanoi, everything goes according to a stipulation. Taisus comes to explain that still, why isn't there a problem about stearis oil? Because the Gemara brought a brisa regarding all this sukkah and the noy sukkah, you don't have any benefit from it until after the last day of Yom Tov, until after Shmini Atzeres. Now, but if you made a stipulation before the Yom Tov that you want to use it, so it goes according to your stipulation and you're allowed to use the sukkah and its decorations. Now, but Taisus brings that Bereisha maybe the Gemara over there in Beya, Parchala, asked on this halacha, even if you made a stipulation, how could you go ahead and take from it on Yom Tov, even though there's no problem about Muktza, but you're destroying the oil, the sukkah. The Gemara that explains is talking about the sukkah that falls, so there's no more problem about stira. Moreover, it was a shaky sukkah from before Yom Tov, where his intention was already thinking about it, when's it going to fall? And that's like Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold the muktza, and therefore, yeah, there's no problem about muktza, and there's no problem about stira either. The next taste the master that begins the words of the Gemara, Ella begregis v'tzimukin. Only, like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul said, that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of muktza, only by dried figs and dried grapes. Which Yerushalmi Mefarsh, Yerushalmi explains why over there that he agrees to muktza. Shemestrichim ben etem, because it really gets spoiled in between when it goes from when it's a fruit to when it's becoming dried. Kivish Meskalk and Kol Kacham, since in that intermediate period it gets so ruined, in Dait Lekachim, his intention is not to take it, actually Sakna Hatem, until it's really good, that it's a good dried fig or dried grape, and therefore even Rabbi Shimon would agree over there that it's going to be muktza. Then next taste the maskot that begins the words of Gemara. V'china ta'ima. So do you say bafraskin by peaches? Then taste comes to explain the Gemara's havamina that we thought Rabbi Shimon would agree by the peaches that you brought up to the roof that it's going to be muktza, and that is because we had this teaching of Yehuda Mishmul, like we said that no, Reb Shimon does not hold a muktza only by Gregor's betzimuk. The Gemara says, "I have a braisa that must be going like Reb Shimon." Because it says, if you're eating any type of fruit and you burn up to the roof, it's going to be muktza. Now, obviously, that's like Reb Shimon, because Reb Yehuda, of course, is going to be muktza. So Taisus can explain that the assumption of the Gemara, that the thought that according to Reb Shimon is going to be muktza, is that must be that Ava Pishayim Meskakon Kokach, although it doesn't get as ruined as like the Gregor's betzimuk when it's being dried, but still Mekatzai Shemitait, he sets it aside from his intention, because it is ultimately getting ruined, and therefore that's what we thought the Reb Shimon would agree that it's going to be muktza. The next taste that Maskel begins the word of the Gemara, where he doesn't actively reject it, then islay muktza, then he holds of muktza. So it's going to explain, where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktza even when you don't have to actively reject it? Because the Gemara was discussing that this braisa that was saying that any type of fruit that you take to the roof is going to be muktza, we said it has to be Reb Shimon. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if, as our Tzidkei Maskel is quoting, even if you don't actively reject it, Rabbi Yehuda holds a muktza. For sure, when you put it up to the roof, we're actively rejecting it, what would we need a braisa to teach us for? So Tzidkei Maskel is saying, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda says it's muktza even when you don't actively reject it? He says, Kagayin hodet nam beperagma fanon, like the Gemara later on, Kav Chavama Beis, that says, Veloyasa Eitzer, in other words, that you now clear out the produce that you have in the store, in the storage, in the shed, in the storage room. From the fruits on Shabbos, even though you didn't actively reject it, that's just where you keep things. But still, according to you, that's muktza, because you didn't think about using it from before Shabbos. So you see, even though you weren't deich b'dayim, he holds a muktza. So too, it's not nami perk basa. So too, we learn in the Mishnah in the last parak of Kovnan Vavam Beis that Rabbi Yehuda Aime says you not cut up a dead animal for the dogs on Shabbos. Im loy hoisin the veilim erev Shabbos, if it wasn't a dead animal from before Shabbos, asur v'chulu, it's forbidden because it wasn't mentally prepared. You didn't know it wasn't dead before Shabbos, and you didn't think about giving it to the dogs, even though it wasn't actively rejected, it just died. Still, you see, he holds that, as our Taiz Der Mas is going on, those words of the Gemara, even if he didn't actively reject it, he holds of Muktz. To the next Taiz Der Mas begins the words of the Gemara, V'eichel Yitztuchle. And it was necessary to tell us the Chiddush that even if he was eating from it. Rosh Tosfos comes to explain that Mukta, which was not actively rejected, and he revealed that he's not really being Masir Tas from it, and actually Rabbi Yehuda would not hold of Mukta. That is, the Gemara brought this whole discussion, like we said, that the Gemara answered that truthfully this Brice is like Rabbi Yehuda. And when Rabbi Yehuda actively rejecting it, you put it on the roof, even if not actively rejecting it, it's Mukta. Oh, no, the Chiddush is that even though he was in the middle of eating it before he put it onto the roof, so you would think to say, okay, he was eating. So then obviously it's not like totally out of his mind of consuming it. No, once he put it onto the roof, he is being Masir Das, and it's going to be Usur for Rabbi Yehuda as Mukta. Taisa says, so Medinokar Eichel, and the fact that this is how the Gemara explains it, that because he had been eating from it, b'muktza d'dachi b'yadayim, and then we said it's muktza when you actively reject and you put onto the roof, nearest it would seem, the oz of acha, that if he was eating from something, that actually shari le Rabbi Yehuda b'muktza, the Rabbi Yehuda would permit it from the laws of muktza, d'loy d'dachi b'yadayim, if you don't actively reject it. Like in the storehouse, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that generally the payers in the storehouse are muktza, but that's what we learn from our sugi, that if he had been eating from it from before Shabbos, and he puts it in the storehouse, that's not going to be muktza, because since he started eating from it, and he did not, quote, actively reject it by putting it on the roof to dry out, then actually, Rabbi Yehuda would hold in such a situation that it would be mutter, and it would not be considered muktza.